Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Sessions Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Justin Ochoa. And today we have on John Murray, current professional basketball player in Morocco, previously spent time in Germany as well as Canada. He joins us to talk about his unique career journey, transitioning from high school to college with a very different path, one that I personally have never heard of anyone else doing. Talks about the transition from college to pro, the peaks and valleys, the adversity that he had to go through to get to where he is today. And then we talk about where he is today in Morocco, coming off a great season, winning the league MVP, choosing to come back to the same team and run it back, and what to expect both individually and as a team this year. So definitely tune in. I think you guys are going to enjoy this one, and thank you so much for listening. What's up, my guy? John, welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
Everything good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. I'm excited, man. I'm glad we can make this happen. And this is going to be one of those ones, you know what I mean? I was telling you before the show, I don't even have a script or an outline or any idea of where this conversation is going to go. We're just going to just see what happens.
Figure that joint out.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So let's jump in, man, and just kind of get into your background. You definitely have like a very unique journey to get to the point where you're at today. So I want to take it all the way back to high school. Talk about your unique high school to college transition and kind of what that looked like and how you got through that.
Man, high school was rough for me. Just going from like freshman to junior year, you know, I mean, I had the typical come in, play JV or varsity route. But once junior year hit, it kind of got, I don't know the word to use, but it got hectic for me. Like I left and went to California and played. And then some things went down financially with that school because it was a prep school, so like a private school. And then I went to Florida that same year. So like come home for Christmas break, you're not going back to Cali, you're going to Florida. So I got a whole new team, whole new journey. Go down there to try to finish school, and that didn't even work. Most people don't know, like, I didn't even get to graduate from high school. I had to go get a GED so I could go to JUCO.
Because, oh, wow.
Just the hopping around and everything, you know, it messed my, you know, my consistency up. So, boom, got the GED, went JUCO. And the rest is kind of history, but JUCO was a battle too, just being around people like, you know, who everybody wants the same thing. And it's hard to make it out. It's like crabs in a barrel, you know. And some people didn't, but, you know, you get hurt, there's no treatment. They just tell you throw some ice or something on it and figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, but that prepared me going D1 and then from there to, you know, the pro world to just mentally be ready for whatever comes my way.
Yeah, that's crazy. I hear your neighbors too. They definitely over there having a good time.
Man, it's crazy. I got the windows closed and everything.
It's all good. It's
all good.
We're not a multi-million-dollar production yet. You know, like I'm still working my way up. Like I'm.
It's all good. You know, we're gonna get the mic how they had the Hustle and Flow with the styrofoam cup on the wall,
facts.
The soundproof and everything.
So. You mentioned like the GED route. That's crazy. I don't know any other person that had done that. And so essentially like you went to a prep school that just kind of like fell through. They didn't follow up with kind of like what they were supposed to do on their end. And you ended up not being able to graduate high school. So you had to get a GED to become eligible to play at the next level. Obviously your talent was there and it wasn't that you couldn't do the classes and stuff like that. It was like the school just like wasn't a real thing type deal.
No, definitely. So like, man, it's crazy because it was all in the news and everything. Obviously it's older, but back in like, I think that was year 2009, 2010, something just went down with the school financially, and it was like, you know, all of a sudden the teacher stopped showing up because we had private classes to where each student would get, you know, what they need or each credited because it was freshman, senior, blah, blah, blah. But Yeah, man, it fell through. And then they sent everybody home with what was tried to be accredited credits, but certain high schools didn't take that. You know what I mean? I even tried to come back to Indianapolis, and that was a no-go. So for a small minute there, I had nowhere to go, like, to finish high school. I was just at home. And then a call came through, like, 2 days later to go to Florida. But, yeah, fast forward to the GED, like, none of the schools that I had were credited, you know, for college, and let alone a D1 college. Like, the JUCOs didn't even really want to take me just because the credits weren't, you know, they weren't stamped. So once I figured out, like, okay, well, that's just the only route, and JUCO it was, and I just got it out the mud from there.
That's so crazy, man. That's pretty wild. That's a dope ass story though. Like I knew some of that, but I didn't know all of that. That's pretty wild. So it makes sense though, you know what I mean? Kind of how you've built your career from the ground up. It started way back as a teenager, you know what I mean? Like going through adversity then. And then like you mentioned, JUCO, everybody kind of knows how JUCO is. Like it's not the greatest situation, but it's a stepping stone to get you to where you want to go. So I guess like how did the JUCO that you went to find you? What was that situation like? What was the recruiting like? Or I guess just the process like to actually get to a JUCO that would accept the credits, accept your situation, and let you come and build your career from there?
Coach Clark, we still cool to this day. Coach Dave Clark, shout out to my guy. Man, he saw me, like, I think at an open gym or something. I had played at, and I'm just coming in to sweat, you know, young guy, fresh out of high school. You could tell I was talented, but I didn't know anything. And he pulled me to the side. And what's crazy about that is I signed a day before school started. So everybody knew where they were headed as far as college and everything. I didn't. I'm at the crib. So I'm just my pops was like, bro, you can't stay here. You got to figure something out. So I went to go hoop. That turned into a scholarship. And then that turned into D1. Trying to be talented as I could at that level.
That's crazy, man. So you ended up from JUCO going to Austin Peay for your last 2 years, right? Yep. And so what was your experience like there, you know, in that setting? And I know you guys had a tournament run, which is pretty cool, or made it to the tournament, which is always dope for a mid-major to get to be seen at that level. Talk a little bit about just your college experience.
First game, paint the picture, you know, for the people and everything. First game, IU, I had 21 coming off the bench. This is first Division I game against IU. They top 14 with Yogi Ferrell, Thomas Bryant. I forgot the other guy, three man. He's still Tyler Williams, I think that's his name.
Oh,
Troy Williams.
Troy Williams, yeah.
Troy, yeah. So they were loaded at this time, you know what I mean? And I performed well. So I'm thinking I'm about to take off. I sat for an entire semester. That was my last 20-point game of the year, like of 2015. I didn't score another 20-point game until the following year. We went to the March Madness tournament, and I had played like a couple games before that, but not really. So I was averaging like 4 minutes a game. We fast forward to the March Madness tournament. This is when I started hitting game winners. People was asking me, like, why has he been sitting so long? Stuff like that. And at the point, it was new to me because I had come from being the man at Owens to not playing at Austin Peay. So it was a mental roller coaster from JUCO to first year D1.
Yeah, I can imagine that. You're like used to being the man, or at least expect to have a different role. And then you go there and it's like not even what you thought. So like what was your – now you were in college before the whole portal and all that stuff was so accessible. Was it like, I got another year, I'm just going to stick it out and my role will change and I'll make the most of it? Or were you having thoughts like maybe I should choose a different school and, you know, sit out the year and find a better system that works for me? Like, what was your mindset at during that time?
Definitely, man, my mindset was everywhere. I'm thinking, throw my name in the draft, hope for the best, transfer. Like, all I know is, like, I worked really hard over the summer, and I worked too hard to be sitting on anybody's team, for that matter. You know what I mean? So that's just where my head was. But luckily I had some older heads around me, like, man, you might as well stick it out because it'll look good, you know, resume moving forward to coaches and trying to go pro to see that you actually have some foundation. So I just stuck it out, and we ended up making a late tournament run, but we lost, like, to get into the tournament, and that was it for our senior year. But it was a great D1, a hell of a D1 run.
Your role your senior year changed. You ended up getting more playing time, more opportunity, scoring more, showing your talent more. What was your initial, like, expectations going into that offseason, being that it's time to go pro or it's time to hang it up? Like, where were your expectations and what was your plan during that time?
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought I was going to get somebody's NBA workout. Yeah. At the time, I was signed with one of the top agents in Europe, you know, and he was feeding me a good story, but there were no workouts coming. And I really hadn't planned for overseas. Like, of course, I'd go over there and do it, but that wasn't the plan. But, I mean, that story alone in itself is so rocky. Just getting from Austin Peay to a pro team where I can just be me, that was almost impossible at the time. That same year, I was with the Mad Ants for a training camp, and that didn't work out. Then I left there and went to Canada my first year, and that didn't work out. Then I came back that same year and played in the TBL for, like, the last 7 or 8 games of the season, and that was my rookie year. And I'm like, man, this is tough. That's the only time that I had thought, like, man, job might be better than this. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Getting cut, shipped out, cut. I might as well just be a professional vacationist at this point. You know what I'm saying? But, nah, that was crazy. Mentally, just seeing, like, looking back on it, and I see the young guys now who are trying to, you know, go pro, and you know, they kind of get tapped out because of that first year. It's like, it's tough. Nothing's coming in. You got to figure something out. But we all had to go through. I feel like if you've made a name overseas, you had to go through, you know, some of that rough point at some point in your story.
Yeah, for sure. So training camp in the G League doesn't work out. Go to Canada, doesn't work out. I think this is right around the time that I met you, maybe a year or so after that. But yeah. I remember when I met you, you were in a cast. So, mentally and physically defeated as a human. Where were you at in this point of your journey at the point where I met you?
Okay, so I mentioned that I had got cut from Canada. Okay, so boom. I go up to Canada, get cut, come back, play for TBL. Okay, so now this is summer of, I think, 2018.
Yep.
I get signed to go to Canada again. I end up shooting to Vegas, playing in front of some coaches. They loved my game. I signed to Canada in Toronto, the Six Side. Shout out to Six Guy.
Yes, sir.
Signed to there and played there for about 2 months. That didn't work out. I got cut again. So now this is when I met you, the summer of 2019. I had broke my foot after I had signed to go to Germany. So let me rewind. I got cut, came back, worked the job for a little while. Boom, got signed to go to Germany. The summer I signed, I broke my foot. I ship out to Germany. They let me heal for a little while. I didn't take enough time off. And I re-broke the same foot in preseason. That's when I came home to meet you, get surgery, get the screw, a whole bunch of other, a whole other crazy story that I'm sure we're going to get into. But that was everything leading up to surgery and a broken foot. So I got cut three times, worked a job, signed, and then broke my foot.
Crazy. And the crazy thing is, like when you say getting cut, you would think like you weren't performing well. It was like you were actually producing and you were playing well, and it was just business. You know what I mean? Like it would be either financial, or they need to bring in a big with a bigger budget, so they got to make room, or like whatever. So it's like, talk about like the business sometimes where it's out of your control. Like, even though you are producing, even if you're not producing at the level that you want to be, it's still like you could get cut for not playing bad, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, for sure. That part I didn't get as a rookie. I didn't understand. I thought that if I came in here, kill, do my job, be a good teammate, I'm going to keep a job. That's just, you know, that's the simplicities of off the on the court business. Man, my first year out, I was averaging plus 20 at a very high rate. I wasn't shooting too many shots, and I was playing the one. We were winning games. Folks called me in the office during preseason. I think this was like my fourth preseason game. We 4-1. Yeah, this ain't going to work. We need to go in a different direction. So now I'm like, okay, well, what do I – now what? And the same thing that fought that second Canadian team, it was the same thing. I wasn't scoring as much. I was trying to be more of a facilitator, and called me in the office. Boom, this ain't going to work. So mentally, I'm like, yo, what did I sign up for? I don't got time for this. And then seeing people just get jobs and their careers doing this at a young age, you just don't know that. Stay focused, stay tunnel vision on what you got going on. But the business side is, man, they trying to win just like you trying to win, but they trying to win in a different way. They winning upstairs on paper with business decisions, and we just on the floor. So that's one thing I always tell, you know, the young guys, or even, you know, guys trying to get a job, that like keep your mental, because sometimes you can't control. Well, you can go out and get 30 and the team will send you home the next day. That's just the business of it. In the NBA, certain guys get traded and they find out through social media. Like, the people didn't even tell them, you know, that's just how the business is. So once you understand that, then I feel like the road will be a little easier for you.
Yeah, facts. So yeah, when I met you, you rolled on into the gym in your scooter with the cast on. And I said, what do we have here? What do we have here? So I got to know you real quick, man. It was cool. It was a cool experience for me, because normally when people are hurt, they take that as a time to like kind of just feel sorry for themselves a little bit, or at least take time off, especially with a lower body injury, right? You were kind of the opposite. You were like, hey, I got a cast on, but the other 95% of my body is fully capable to train, and we can get in what we can, and you just tell me and I'll do it. So I'm like, all right, bet. So obviously the upper body stuff is easy. That type of stuff is natural, but we were lifting lower body with the cast on, which is kind of crazy. Just a lot of band work, a lot of just lying down band work. Like, just, I was really inventing stuff on the fly. Just like, hey, this dude said experiment, let's get it. So what, and then eventually, you know, you healed, you got out of the cast, and we got back right. But what are some of the things you remember from those days? Just like mentally, physically, the challenges you were going through. And then like some of the stuff that we did that I might've forgot about, that I was just like, yo, what the hell is my trainer having me do?
Bruh, man, I'm going to tell you, bro, I was at a very, very dark place mentally. Like the training, you know, when you say training, I feel like people just think, oh, I'm going to the gym, I'm a, you know, bench a couple times, do a couple squats, get out of there. Like, no, I really was sitting with headphones on doing single leg hip raises just like this for 30 minutes straight, up and down, Like, you have to be different here in order to get that type of stuff done. Because it was so many times mentally, I just was like, bro, this ain't it. Like, it ain't it. I don't want to do this. I don't feel like mentally and physically that tomorrow is going to be better than what I just did. You know what I'm saying? But luckily, I had you and the rest of the Pace family in there to bring me up during that time. But it was bad. And I just remember the 100. I had 100 leg raises in each direction, north, south, every way. So I had to go this way. And once I got done with 100, it's like, dang, bro, you got 300 more of what you just did. And it's going to take probably 30 more minutes in each. Bro, that's mind boggling, bro.
That's crazy.
Bro. It worked though. Like, I trusted you. I trusted the process. It worked. And like, luckily I didn't, you know, it wasn't at an older age because I was able to heal quicker. But even what I didn't know is like the Crohn's. And so I have Crohn's and everything for the people who don't know. That made me slower to certain. So if a regular person took 6 weeks to heal, it would take me 9 because I had Crohn's. Then just the medicine that I was getting with, you know, messing with my blood and the healing process and so forth, so on. But that was I learned a lot about myself in that time, just mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I remember we would do everything was on a Vertimax, which is crazy because if you think about like the Vertimax, like you think about like jumping and stuff, but really we were using the cables for like resistance, like light resistance. So hella reps. I'm like, you know what? Cause one thing is for sure is like, you're not going to be able to load it. Like, you're not going to be able to like really lift. So we're going to have to just use these micro resistance bands and just make it burn. And just, I remember you'd be there. You're like the only person I would let lift in their headphones because I knew that like, I didn't need to interact with you in that moment because I'm not coaching you at the time. It's just like, hey, do this 100 times, do that 100 times. In between the first 5, I might be like, okay, that looks good, that's solid, keep doing it like that. But the other 95, like, you don't need to be present. Like, you need to be somewhere
else.
Yeah.
Bro, it was crazy. That's something I never forget, the process of that mentally. Like, bro, you have to get this. It's either this or you quit.
Yeah.
Both of them don't hurt, you know? So,
facts.
I had to put it down and get to it.
Yeah, that was fun times. That was, like, looking back, that was not fun at the time, but it's fun now because of how much progression has happened since then. So, you get back healthy, foot heals, go over to Germany, have a good year. And then I think you go back to the same team and have another good year. Kind of fill in some of the gaps along the way. You're in Morocco now, but you spent some time in Germany. Talk about your experience there and kind of what you learned from there and how it's changed you as a player and a person.
That's tough. So it's crazy is as we've progressed past the surgery and everything, I forgot COVID hit. And that put a stop on. You know, that put a stop. So that's cut 3 times, broken foot, surgery, COVID. So all this happened, boom, 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 back to back to back. Once COVID hit, I was averaging close to 30. Like, and we were winning. We were 4-0 in the league, and the team was looking to move up. You know, one more league, that would have put us at a professional level. So things was looking real golden at that time. But once COVID hit, I had to come home and I lost basically that second half of the season, which is, you know, critical for overseas or any, you know, professional sport at that time. But I lost that second half to COVID. So I basically had to go back to the same team and start over, which kind of, you know, it set me back a little bit because of the injury. But I mean, obviously now you made major, you know, steps in that. But just so fast forward to Germany, the first year playing a full season, I won player of the year. but I wanted to go straight to it's the top league. It's called BBL, straight to top league. But the league wouldn't allow that. It wasn't anything that I could do on my own. Like the league, the German Federation was not going for that. So I signed with the Pro A team in Germany with Dusseldorf. And that experience went well until it didn't. And when it didn't, I got introduced another termination letter, which sent me back down to the same league that I was originally started in. And then after so many games, I think 4 or 5 games, I got a call to come to Morocco. And that's when everything just hit the ceiling. We was running.
Facts. So Morocco, for those that don't know, now you're in Morocco, you're in the top division, you're in a much better environment, much better league, much better situation for you. You last year was your first season there and decided to come back. Talk about your first season in Morocco and how that went.
Man, it was crazy. So a lot of people don't know. And I played a game on Saturday last year in Germany. I hopped on a plane on Sunday to come to Morocco to start practice on Monday. We had a game that weekend, the same weekend all of this took place. I'm still trying to finalize Germany's contract and everything and still be able to play here. But the experience was crazy. My first game was against one of the, you know, top teams, like historic teams in the league. They have a huge public, a large fan base, and the atmosphere, just being on the atmosphere of the floor where the gym is packed. Like, there's not a seat in the gym. Everybody's standing up. It was crazy. Then just I got to experience the Moroccan culture where you're shooting a free throw. It's normal for them to wave something in your eyes like a laser or something. You normally see a rocket going off in the background. Like in Europe, you can't bring that stuff inside the building. They might do it outside, you know, but that ain't allowed. So that was my first time seeing stuff like that. But I embraced it. I loved it. And it turned me up during the game. And from that moment on, we just, you know, we steamrolled through the league.
Yeah, so you mentioned the rockets and the smoke and all that stuff. So I'm going to find a clip and put it in here. But it's crazy. Like, when you watch your games, it's like real fireworks going off inside the building. It's real smoke, like, gathering at the top of the roof. Like, how does that affect you, like, during the play? Like, or are you not, like...
I'm locked in. I ain't going to lie to you. I'll be locked in. Like, if it is affecting me, I won't find out until after the game. But during the game, especially that being my first game, like, the only thing I have to make a good appearance. You know, first impression, everything. And these guys, they had already been playing and rolling. They know each other. I'm new. My first game. And coach is, like, you know, giving me the ball to make the decisions. So I just was locked in on, man, I got to make a good first impression. But the smoke is just like, it's like you notice it, but you don't notice it. Like, you'll be at the free throw line and hear a bow real loud. You'll look, but you got to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be locked in. But it's crazy, bro. They'll throw like fake, it's like a water bottle, but it's a fake water bottle, like a little small, and they'll throw it on the floor if they start losing real bad. It's crazy.
So, obviously, with the schedule that you had last year, being basically gone for almost a full year just based on how the schedules were lined up and being in two different leagues in the same season, what was it like for you basically playing a full year-round professional basketball schedule? Like, how was your body feeling fatigue-wise and mentally? Like, where were you at?
Man, it's funny you say that, because when you're younger, you pray for it. You pray for, like, it looks fun on social media, you know, if you on the outside looking in, it looks fun. But when you actually in it, it's exhausting. And like, it's not like get off of work, I need to sit down, I'm tired, exhausted. It's like, bro, I want to go home.
Yeah.
So last year, I broke my finger in, I think, May, which was the beginning of the playoffs. Like, first or second game into the playoffs, I broke my finger. Fast forward, into the finals, the championship finals, I rolled both my ankles, the right and the left, back-to-back games. So mentally and physically, I'm like, bro, I need a break. Like, I need to sit in some ice for 3 weeks. And y'all see y'all when I see y'all. But the small battle was me sitting on that floor doing 100 reps in each direction for 30 minutes, staying disciplined, not losing, you know what I mean, the count of what I was trying to do. Fast forward to me having to lift for recovery, like seeing the guys, you know, it looks fun on NBA when they lift after games during the playoffs, but they need that or they won't be able to walk straight the next mm-hmm. day. So that's what kept me in line, is just staying disciplined, because I know it was going to help me, you know, playing 4 or 5 games back to back to back, 4 or 5 games in 6 days. That's what really kept me going. But the on the court part was the easiest part of playing in the finals. That was the easiest part of life. Everything else happened before the game or after the game, with treatment, recovery, or stretching, team meeting, team video. That's the mentally taxing part. And then not to mention just keeping back, you know, with everything back at home, it's a 5-hour, 6-hour time difference. So, you know, I might be asleep and someone's calling, or vice versa, just messing up, you know, whatever routine is being and being handled. So that was, for me, that was the biggest thing, is just mentally being focused and ready to perform at that high level at that time.
Yeah. So you mentioned you won the league MVP, and then you obviously brought a championship to the city. What does it feel like to win those games at that level? And like, how does the country and the community that you're in, like, how do they, you know, kind of adapt to you once you kind of hit those milestones?
Man, it was crazy. They embraced me, open arms. You know what I mean? And since we was kids, like, this is stuff we prayed for, just be on the biggest stage of wherever point you are in your life and performing at a high level. And that's what I did. And when we came back to, you know, the city or wherever we went when we were done playing, it was all love. Nobody, you know, pointed fingers at us or talked bad about us. Like, it was major respect for doing what we did. 'Cause also, like, just in franchise history, this team hadn't won any, you know, championships or banners or anything in the past. So that was really big for them. You know, I wanted to make sure I was a part of that. And shout out to everybody in Morocco, man. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate all the love.
Yeah. Hey, Morocco loves John Murray, man. Anytime I would ever post you, I would get a couple new followers.
Every
that
time, man,
you know, I would click them and be like, located in Morocco. I'm like, hey, they love John Murray out here, man. They love John Murray. Talk about, I mean, that's for you. Like you said, it's important for teams to let you be you, and that's important to your success individually, which is important to the team's success. So, who is John Murray? Like, a lot of people don't know, like, the personality, the character, like, you're almost like a basketball meme machine. Like, you have so many one-liners and so many just character moments where I'm like, this dude needs a TV show. Like, you just create viral moments. Like, talk about just why you wired that way and some of the funny just isms of John Murray.
Man, it's crazy. It started off like just being young, you know what I mean, being around older people. You know, they'll be like, bro, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? Just cracking jokes or whatever. But, man, it just started off like, you know, growing up, everybody cracking jokes with everybody. And then you fast forward to, you know, you kind of being the young boy around all the older guys. Got a lot of older siblings, older brother, older sisters. So, you know, it just kind of trickled down, I guess. But just like, you know, when the time, like when it get tough, instead of crying about it, I'm like, man, I might as well joke about it because yeah. I got to do it anyway. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. that's kind of where it started. And then I'll be like, you know, man, I got to go in here and put this 300 in the air. I ain't trying to do it, but somebody got to do it. You know, like whatever the situation may be. But nah, it's funny that you say that because my brother used to do that. I used to watch my brother mess with my sisters. And they'll get so mad because he'll be playing all the time. I stole a couple of jokes, you know, threw them in the bag. And we good. Yeah. We green.
Dude, no, I love it. I love it. You, Jaimin, really, I mean, everybody has their own thing, but there's a couple standouts where it's just like, you know, it's not going to be just a normal conversation. It's going to be some type of funny stuff. and I love how you always take a piece of home with you wherever country you're in. You know what I mean? Like you rep indie hard wherever you're at. And so that's obviously a big plus. Being from indie is like, you know, a lot of people don't realize like it's kind of like a family. You know what I mean? Like everybody from indie, it's big. Like it's big enough to where, I mean, there's millions of people that live in Indianapolis and it's not a small town like people might think it is, but it's big enough to where you don't know everybody, but it's small enough to where you kind of always have, you know, somebody who knows that person or, you know, especially in the basketball community, you have these like little small degrees of separation. So how's it been for you just to, you know, travel the world and kind of just meet all types of different people through basketball and, you know, introduce them to like that Naptown John Murray shit. You know what I mean?
Gang.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I have to imagine like your teammates are saying shit like, oh yeah, yeah, that's 100. That's 100.
100. They be saying that. They be saying 100 all the time. I got them saying out the gate, all types of shit.
Oh my God, that's so great.
But man, what's crazy, when we went to Qatar to play in the championship, the tournament, I seen so many Americans. One dude was from Detroit, another one was from North Carolina, and we all knew somebody who knew somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, man, bro, you look familiar. We played against Norris Cole out there. We played against Kenny Hayes. Shout out to my guys. Both chopped it up with them during the game or after the game. Two, you know, great dogs, and they from where they from, but the world just was so small that they actually grew up with one of my homies that I went to school with, so they was like from the same area, you know what I mean? And bro vouched for me after we got done playing, and my homie, you know, they chopped it up, but it was just so small, like he's close to home, you know, this guy I see almost every day, I talk to every day, and y'all, I just played against, you know, a guy you grew up with. But they, you know, they definitely learned out here that, you know, the John Murray lingo, you know, the out the gate, the 100, the, you know what I mean? Yeah, man, all that.
Hey, I love it, man. That's so good. Like, it's funny because, you know, like, I don't know how it is in Morocco. Certain countries are a little bit Americanized. Like, I talked to Alante, right? He was in Australia, and Australia is, you know, an English speaking country and they know a little bit about some of our culture, but a place like Morocco, I don't feel like is natural for them to pick up on some of that stuff. So talk about just the locker room environment for you as somebody like you, who is like going to put your stamp on every room that you walk into, like what type of conversations and stuff you have with your teammates about just like how we do things here.
Man, they be asking me too, like, yo, in America, they do this? I'm, you know what I mean? I'll be like, man, it depends. But One of my, we've grown so close to, especially the guys who were here last year, you know, they know about what goes on, how I'm going to respond. You know what I mean? They be like, here go John again. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. But I got, you know, a couple, like I said, some of them say 100. And just on a, you know, serious aspect of life, just some of the principles that I live by, like they see me working out, they see me lifting before practice by myself or getting extra shots up before the game. Like that little stuff has rubbed off on them to where they want to get better. You know, and it made us grow together more as a family too. But even the people in Morocco can see, like, you know, when you dedicated to something and you really want to do this, they can tell by when your style of play on the floor. If he out here for a check or he out here because he loved this shit.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what made us really more of a family too when I got here. And then they love the, you know, like this right here. When they see this, they're going to go crazy because they love the interaction that I keep it like that off the court too. You know, for whoever, you know, come up, ask for a picture or autograph or whatever it is, it's always, you're going to get the same John Murray. It ain't never going
to
be
a
story, you know?
Yeah, I love that. That's so important too. So they do love you in Morocco, man, and they brought you back for another year and they brought you back to the same team. And it's like you said, you got a couple returning teammates and some new teammates too. But what are your expectations for this year, going into this new season with the same base, same core team? Where are you at right now? I know it's early in the season, but how are you guys looking?
We definitely still growing. We got a lot of younger guys that, you know, they need to adapt to, you know, the speed and just how we do things, but we looking good. I've seen word on the street that we're better than where we were last year. That's what the word is.
Okay.
I'm on the inside looking out. So I'm doing my job. You know what I mean? But outside of that, I think that we're going to be good. Guys are like buying into the system and it's not an overnight process. You know what I mean? So I definitely think we're going to be green, especially tomorrow against the guys we lost to in the finals. That'll be like, you know, redemption, a little motivation for the returners and then for the new ones to put their stamp on it.
Yeah, for sure, man. So before I let you get out of here, I always like to put people on the hot seat and just ask like some random questions, man. Like I said, I don't even have a script for this one because I knew you were going to carry the conversation. So we're going off the top of the dome right here, whatever I can come up with.
Let's get it.
All right, right here. So I need your top four. So we're going to say Mount Rushmore. Top four rappers you listen to pregame or pre-workout.
Top four. But you know Dolph number one. He got
absolutely.
RIP my dog. Dolph on there for sure. Lil Baby. Top four is crazy. I definitely got to throw Wayne on there, man. Shout out to the GOAT, Lil Wayne.
Facts.
And then pregame, I'm definitely going Moneybagg.
I like that. I know. So it was Dolph, Moneybagg, Wayne, and who was the fourth?
Lil Baby.
Baby. All right. Yeah, that's solid. That'll get you ready to drop 30.
At least 30. You know, you might get with that lineup.
Facts.
So.
All right, so what is your least favorite exercise I've ever had you do?
Ooh, that's a whole lot of them. man, it gotta be them the 100 leg raises and man, bro, I don't ever want to get hurt. Not the surgery didn't hurt. The surgery was cool. It was that's what hurt the most.
Respect.
I don't ever want to do that again. Shout out to Respect. The
GoPro. My guy. Who if you had to liken your game to somebody else, who would you say that you play similar to and why?
I've heard a smidget of Kyrie. I've heard a 6'4" Paul George. I've heard, I don't know. I would say I'm like a, you take a little bit of Kyrie with a little bit of Dame and a small spidget of Steph and put it all together, minus 10 pounds, that's me.
with the mindset, with the attitude of like a prime Westbrook.
Hunter. That.
Yeah. I like that.
That's the one.
That's that angry, like angry but happy at the same time.
But like, got to get to know the off the court type, because you
facts,
just, you know, read it wrong on the court type of deal.
Facts. Yeah. All right. So, what's your go to restaurant out there in Morocco?
Go to. Oh, I gotta think about this, because they gonna get some pub off this one.
Yeah, shout out. We need sponsored ads on this month.
On everything. my favorite restaurant. Man, I would have to say, I don't even know the name of the restaurant. That's crazy. I ain't been there in a while. Shout out to Sahara Food. That's my favorite restaurant. Every time I'm going to Sahara, get the Indian joint with the tiki masala. If y'all ain't never had tiki masala, okay, get you some tiki masala with the garlic.
Yes, sir.
Honor.
Need that. Yes, sir. What, growing up, if you can remember, if you were a Powerade or a Gatorade kid, right? Because there's a distinct difference. Was you a Powerade kid or a Gatorade kid?
All right, so I'm put it down like this. I was definitely I was a Gatorade kid, but financially I was a Powerade kid.
You feel me? I feel you. Yes. Yeah.
Because back
that's
in the
great.
Day, you could get two Powerades, almost three for a dollar.
Yes.
Gatorades is $1.29. So you know what I mean? I'm going with the cheaper route.
Absolutely. Yep. Kroger had them Powerades, the purple Powerades, 79 cents a pop or something like that.
Come on, man. I can get two of them for $1 and change. That's, you know what I mean? I'm good.
Sometimes it had to be the Walmart sport drink.
Come on now. And you can get three of those for sure back in the day for $1. No problem.
For sure. It wasn't flavors. It was just the color. It'd be like orange.
Let me get that.
Blue.
Let me get orange or blue, bro. Yeah.
What's your go-to pair of shoes? Like if you had a, let's say the finals were tomorrow, like what game 7 shoes are you wearing?
I need the Kobe 10s, all black. I need those with the gold check mark. I need them yesterday. Finals tomorrow, I'm on TV with the Kobe 10s.
That's tough. That's a tough look.
Some 10s, man.
Facts. All right, what's like a hidden talent or something that most people non-basketball related would not know about you?
Hidden talent? I can skate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I knew that one was coming.
Is that a hidden talent?
That's solid. No, that's valid for sure.
Well, you give me some four wheels and some, you know what I'm saying, and the right type of floor, I'm out of there floating.
Bro, yeah, that's one thing I wish I could do. I can't do it like you can do it. I get out there and not bust my ass, but I can't make it look cool like you. Like it's not good. And then my kids are starting to have skating parties now and stuff like that. And I get out there and I'm like, okay, let me see what I can do. And I'm just like, ooh, this ain't the time to be working on that. Like I need to get in the lab and lock in.
No, that's crazy, because I'd be like before I used to, I used to just hop out there. Now I got to stretch, hit some high knees, world's greatest, then hop on the floor. You know what I mean? Like that joint is definitely a process, but it's mental.
100%.
for me, it's mental. I'm in there, ain't no care in the world. You just floating. Worry about the next go around.
100%. All right, what's a unpopular opinion on basketball?
Unpopular opinion. Everybody's a referee.
You trying to say like people just don't know the rules and they think they do.
They don't know the rules. And you know basketball varies on where it's being played in, USA, overseas, whatever. But everybody's a referee when it comes to basketball.
So I think this was one that was like floating around social media. I'll probably butcher it, but the gist of it will be the same. So would you rather average 30, making 50 mil and not win a championship, or average 15 a game, making 15 mil and win a championship? I think I got that right. It's basically, it's like, would you take a bag and no ring and great stats, or would you take still a bag but not as much, a decent stat line and a ring?
I ain't gonna lie, I'm from the trenches. I need that bag. So you coming at me? Because everybody champions in their own way in life, you know what I mean? And you give me 30 million, it ain't no way I'm not finna go, you know what I'm saying, build my city up or give back. So I'm, you know what I mean, I'm a champion in that way or whatever way you decide to be in that lane. But I'm definitely gonna average 30 and be a god wherever I go.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That's that Marbury effect. You feel me?
100.
He got statues in China.
He got statues. My boy ain't worried about no ring. He a king in two countries. He dream.
All right. Start one, bench one, cut one. Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, Allen Iverson. That's very tough.
That's tough. Oh, I got to start one, bench one, cut one. I'm going to start Steph. I'm going to start Steph. He a winner. I need a winner on the floor at all times. I'm going to get ridiculed for this. But I'm going to bench Kyrie and I'm cutting AI.
I think that's tough. But I think I agree. I think I would do the same.
Bro, okay.
I think I would do the same.
I need at least one ring, you know what I'm saying?
You got two champions right there.
I got two champions. I got what? Five, six rings. Kyrie got one or two, one. But AI, he just gonna give me 30 and a bunch of seats field. I need some rings, you know what I'm saying?
Facts. That's a tough one. And I threw AI in there because I love AI. And I think that he's like just one of the most like underappreciated guys in the league just because he didn't get the ring. So people don't see him in that light. But like what he was doing was going crazy. So
crazy. It was unheard of at that time.
The next one's going to be very tough for you especially. So it's another start one, bench one, cut one. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Oh. I'm sorry.
Yo, my boy finna give me a follow on all platforms.
Oh yeah, this is tough. This is not fair. And I'll preface it like this. There's no right answer, there's no wrong answer. You put any one of them dudes on the court, you're going to win a title. Multiple. So at this point, we're just playing favorites, and I'm going to give you your chance to justify who, when, what, where, and why.
Start one, bench one, cut one. Start Kobe. R.I.P. the King. Got to start Kobe. I'm going to bench MJ. And I'm cutting Bron.
Cutting Bron. I respect it.
I just grew up in the Kobe era. If you ask somebody 10 years older than me, they're going to say MJ. just because they grew up in that era. So I'm putting Kobe at number one. And then MJ just, you know what I mean? MJ, he MJ. So I gotta keep him. But I think I can do it without Bron as long as I got them two.
That's a fact. Yeah. I'm not mad at that. I think my answer would change every day. If you asked me that every day, I would have a different answer every single day and different reasoning why. So it's not even
good reason too.
Yeah. Facts.
Good reason. No reason, right. Connor. No.
Couple more here. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you on the court?
Ooh. I ain't gonna lie. I got crossed in like fourth grade and failed. Fourth grade. Crazy. Bro was coming at me with like he was hitting me with so many crosses and like he kept crossing. And back then, like I didn't know, just stand there, just don't go for it. Like I didn't know that back then. So bro was coming down half court. Hit me with a left to right, and I stumbled a little bit. And then he hit the same, boom, and took me out the pitcher. And I fell out of bounds. ever since then, I'm never going for the okey-doke. I'm going to sit there. You're going to have to do something else, bro.
Fourth grade is crazy, too, especially because it's like that was a quick answer. Like, man, that, I'll never forget that it. Hurt your soul, bro.
Bruh, that hurt more than anything. Like, that hurt. And it was like one of those, you know, everybody on the sideline games, everybody's hyped up. And, bro, wow. I went to the sideline, sat down.
Got you up out of there. Quick. If you were not a pro hooper, what do you think you'd be doing for a living right now?
Man, I'd be some type of trainer teaching somebody's kid to go get 40. Cause ain't no way. Ain't no way. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's probably just, if it didn't work out, that would be my story. It just didn't work out. But I know the material that I'm teaching is guaranteed. Like, you know, guaranteed stamped. 99. Stamped. You're going to get 30, at least, minimum.
Facts. I love that. All right, last couple ones, man. So let's talk about, we're going back to food. You know what I mean? That's one thing we talk about a lot. It's just smashing food, different kinds of food, favorite food. So if you had to build like your perfect restaurant, like what's the concept? Like what type of restaurant food is it? Who's it for? Like invent a restaurant on the fly.
On the fly. Okay. The name of the restaurant will be All You Can Eat Dole Shack.
I'm already in, dude. I'm in.
I got all protein you need. We got salmon, swordfish, shark, alligator, lobster tail, crab leg. We got all the protein you need. Steaks, ribeyes. We got all that. The only catch is you have to buy protein in order to get anything else on the menu. And everything on the menu will be at half price.
Oh.
After you purchase the protein. Now, let me put you on why this will work.
You got this on the...
I got this. I got it.
You got this in the bag.
Where I'm from, you got to be ready. Somebody might walk in with an investment idea. You got to, you know what I'm saying? Listen, bro.
Oh, bro, first of all, not only did I think of this question on the fly, so there's no possible way you knew this was coming, but you had this idea, bro.
I'm ready, bro. I got the ideas on layaway. So I went to this restaurant when I was younger, bro. It was in like Missouri or something over there in them parts. And like they used to throw you rolls. Like they would literally throw a roll, a hot roll at your head. If you didn't catch it, they throw another one. You know what I mean? But they were free. And it was the catch that I want to go here because they're going to throw a roll at me. I just want to catch the roll. You know what I mean? That was the catch of getting people to come back. Their sides were free. So mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, corn, whatever you wanted, it was free. But you had to get like a main dish. And the main dish was like, it was, you know, normal price. But yep. Everything else was free. And the rolls was the catch. So like, why wouldn't you come to this restaurant? You know what I mean? Like, just the catch of coming to get, like, you going to get free sides. You can just fill up off sides. So,
facts.
I definitely, you know what I mean? I'm ready. If somebody had 20 grand, we'd be open today.
100. Facts, dude. I love it. I love it. That's amazing. All right, last one, man. What's your go-to movie? This is like a multi-part question. Go-to movie, like whenever you want to lock in and get some motivation, and then your go-to song whenever you're trying to lock in and get some work done.
Okay. Go-to song, I'm out the gate. I'm going to Talking to My Scale, Young Dolph. That's going to get me where I need to go every time. A movie, if I need for motivation, it will probably be, so I got two. The first one is Remember the Titans and Coach Carter.
Classics.
Definitely. Yeah. Just because of the discipline, man. Them boys taught them discipline in life, you know, off the court.
Yeah. Those would definitely be in the running for me. And then another one that I like is the first Creed movie. Got me hype. Like, I was ready to go boxing. Like, that movie was elite motivation. I was like, yo, like, this is crazy. Like, and the Rocky movies are fine too, but it was something about the new school version of, you know, just his son. And yeah, it was dope. It was dope. That got me hype. So, yeah, before I let you get out of here, man, drop your social media. Let the people know where they can find you and stay in touch.
Man, it's John Murray here. You know what I'm saying? We good. We live down here. Just amazing. Just amazing_32. Tune in to the YouTube channel at Just Amazing 8. We got all highlights. We got everyday, day in the life, pro, anything you guys need. Catch me on Facebook at the same handle, Just Amazing 32. Appreciate you guys for tuning in.
My guy. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. This was fun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me know when we green, we got the edits and everything. You know what I'm saying?
I got you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bro.
And that was another great episode of the Gym Sessions podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. Before you go, please share this with a friend. Rate it on whatever platform you're listening on. Subscribe if you haven't already. That way you get alerts whenever we drop. It's going to help me grow the show and continue to get on great guests like John in the future. So thank you again for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week with another great episode, another great interview. Thank you.